Thank you. Yes, please. Thank you. It's good to be here. It's been quite a few months, and it's nice to see new faces here and there. And it's just good to be here with all of you.
Need some help?
No, I'm good. You need some help? No, he's gonna wondering where he was going. Anyway. Yeah. So you gonna give a testimony while you're up here?
No.
Oh. Well, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Denny Yarnell. I live up in Summit Valley, and I've been helping speak off and on for the last year or so here when they need me, and I know Chris has been doing that. So Robert called me up every month and he says, well, you ready to preach again? And I'm like, I can't talk. And I've had thyroid cancer for 7 or 8 years, and it got into my trachea, so they had to operate on that, take the tumor out, and then they had to do radiation treatments. I just got over that about, 6 weeks ago or something. And I know it was going to affect my voice, but I didn't know it was going to affect my voice for so long. They said it would be okay. So this is the first time that I told Robert I'd give it a try, and so we'll see how it goes and stuff. But Chris is here today. He said he can always do one. So maybe you get half of mine and half of his or something. I don't know. So I got a question for you, though. So is there anybody here that's never had a problem or a worry or been persecuted or something like that? Is there anybody that can say, I've never dealt with that stuff? That's what I thought. Nobody, right? We all have struggles. We all have problems that come along in our life. And I want to take you this morning through my journey with this radiation treatments, because God showed me a lot of stuff. I don't know if it's so I either learned or was reminded of quite a few things, and it really hit me. I think it's good to share with you guys. One thing I don't want you to do, I don't want you to just see my journey. I want you to see what God did. And I want you to see how he helped me and how he can help you. And, you know, I can say it was good. I didn't like it. I didn't like any of it. But it was good. And I thank God and I praise him because of that, because of what he taught me and how he helped me through it. Because I can say, like we read in the scripture, about rejoicing him no matter what we go through. And I know that most of us don't probably do that enough and really look to him. We, you know, there's a John 3:16 right there on the board. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whosoever believes in him shall have everlasting life. We take that so lightly. Do we realize the depth of that love? And I think when we go through trouble or we go through struggles, it either helps us to go deeper and understand that love more, or we turn our back kind of on God and get mad at him. And I don't know if you guys know anybody that's done that, but I know have gotten mad at God and stayed mad at him for a long time. And I'm just like, what a shame, because it's not a very good witness, number one. So I was praying that God take me through this in such a way that I can be a witness to others and go through it well and stuff. So anyway, I'll kind of share as we go through, but I want us to read Peter, 1 Peter 4, 12 through 19 to get started. Do we have somebody that would volunteer to, I want to save my voice, would somebody volunteer to read that? It's kind of a, from 12 to 19. Anybody volunteer? Could you do that, Kristen? Save my voice, because I think it's, I don't know what it's going to do.
4, 12 through 19?
Yeah, 1 Peter.
1 Peter 4, 12 through 19. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Those who serve God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator.
All right, thank you. Let's pray. Father, I pray that your word would touch our hearts, Lord, that you would open our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be willing to allow you to change us and mold us into what you want us to be. Lord, you'll help us to be obedient, that you'll give us strength and power to go through the troubles and things that come along in our life. Lord, we love you. Lord, help us to worship you and praise you. Lord, help us to be good examples to those around us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I know, Bob, you've gone through some troubles and trials here in the last little bit. And Paul, where'd Paul go? Oh, there he is over on the end. You've gone through some health issues for a long time. But it teaches us stuff. If we'll look to him and ask him to really help us through those things. Here's a prediction kind of concerning the church. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. We know how Christ suffered and how he was despised, humiliated, mocked, and crucified. And in this life, we're also going to. In this life, there's going to be suffering, persecution, trials, tribulations, afflictions, anxiety, fear, trouble, and sickness. That's just part of our life as we go through life. And I'm not trying to make that sound bad. What I want to encourage you in is we can go through it and be victorious in it. Okay? It might be tough, it might be hard, but we can have victory in those things. And so trouble, if we talk about trouble. Today, some of these scriptures will have to do with persecution, some suffering, and some of these other things that I just mentioned. So I'm kind of generalizing it, okay? We're not just taking out one thing and saying suffering or tribulation or whatever. So this will be kind of general of all those things. But when trouble comes along, like in John 16:37, 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Boy, I'll tell you, I had to do something through this, and I'll talk about it in a little while, but in this treatment that was very hard for me to do. And God gave me the strength and the peace to do it, and I'll explain it a little bit later. But one of the stories that we know about is Job and how much it can teach us about suffering. If, you know, there's a place in the Bible we would go to if we wanted to talk about suffering, it'd be to Job. Job 2, 7 and 8 just says this. This kind of just touches on it. But so Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat there among the ashes. So as we think about Job, in the end, he lost his wife, he lost his family, people mocked him, people gave him a hard time, they told him to curse God and die, and he went through all this stuff. And then, in the end, God gave him a whole new life, and he was victorious, and God gave him a whole new life. So I want to share my experiences of going through this cancer radiation treatments a little bit, because I've learned a lot, like I said earlier, and we've gone through our troubles in life. We all do. I guess the questions I want you to ask yourself is, what did you learn, and how did you respond or react going through the troubles in your life? So I think we can learn and grow in this, because I was amazed at what happened in my life, because I had peace when I didn't think I could have peace. I was able to do some things I didn't think I could do. I was able to witness to some guys and to encourage them. God opened so many doors, it is just unreal to me. It's like I was on a mission trip or something. I mean, it really was. It was really just amazing. Were you able to get the picture of that mask up on the screen? All right, would you put it up, please? So one of the things that happened, we go to this doctor that's the radiation guy, and he's telling me what they're going to do and how it's going to happen and all this. And he said, they're going to make a mask for you. And I'm like, what's this mask business? And I'm looking around his office, and up on the top shelf, there's this mask. And that one does not look like the one I had, because that looks like some nylon thing that just is kind of on there and it moves around a little bit. Well, the one I got come down, clear past my neck, probably come down to about right here. And I went in, the first thing they had me go in, and they took a CT scan, and then they made this mask. And they had this flat piece of stuff, and it had holes in it, but not like that one there. And they warm it up, and then they put it over your face, and they form fit it to your face. And I'm just about freaking out, you know. I'm laying there, I'm like, Lord, help me, guys. I can't lay here with that thing squashing down on my face, and they're pushing on it to mold it and everything. So I found myself really asking for the Lord's help. And so we make it through that. They make this thing, and it cools off, and then it, so then it stays in that shape. And so the gal says, well, if you can handle it being made, that took about 20-something minutes or 30 minutes. She said, you'll be able to handle the treatments because they're only like 10, 15 minutes. I'm like, well, okay. I said, is there going to be anybody in there with me? Because that mask is tight, you know, and it's like, you know, I'm not sure I could even breathe. And she said, yeah, there'll be somebody right there in there with you. Well, then a few days later, when they start the treatments, I go in there, and I find out, number one, there isn't going to be anybody in there because they can't get radiated all the time. And so I'm like, oh, this is not going to be good. I said, what am I going to do if I can't breathe? And I'm still sitting. You go in there and you kind of sit on this table, and before they lay you down, they're telling you this stuff. And I was like, what am I going to do if I can't breathe? Or if I start to cough or something? And they said, well, they give kind of the setup is the table's there, and then you lay down on the table, and they put a thing under your legs to kind of, so they're kind of like this, you know. Then there's a thing that comes over you about right here, just kind of a bar thing, and it's snapped into the table, and then they give you a donut and you hold it right here because they don't want you to reach up and get your arm radiated. So they got this donut, and then they put this mask on you. And so I'm sitting in there, and they're telling me, and I'm sitting on the table and I'm asking them questions and stuff. And so if nobody's in here, I said, what happens if I can't breathe? Because I said, I know that mask is tight. I mean, they're not put it on yet, but other than when they made it. I said, what do I do if I can't breathe? And they're like, start waving that donut thing or kicking your feet or something. They said, and I said, well, I was told somebody would be in here with me. They said, no, nobody can be in here. But we can see you and we can hear you. So just start waving something. So I said, okay. So then they have me lay on the table, and they start putting all this stuff on, and they start bringing that mask over there, and I'm just praying like crazy. So they're kind of, first time, you know, they're kind of really careful. One thing I found out in there was those people they have in there are great. And I've never looked at it this way about gifts, you know, that God gives people gifts to do this or that. But it's like our doctors and nurses and all these people, are they gifted of God to do these kind of jobs? Because I'll tell you, man, I couldn't do their job. They were so good to me. And all the people were saying the same things that were going in there. They talked you through it. They were good. They didn't just slap it on there and go at it, you know. And so they help you through it. And when they put that mask on there, they'd just be like, are you doing okay? And I'm like, no, we're not. And they're like, we're talking, and they're kind of take it away, and we talk a little bit and stuff. And they basically talked me through it. And yet in my mind, I'm going, I know that God can help me with this. I know that he can give me the strength to endure this. So anyway, they finally get on there, and they're like, okay, we know it's tight. How tight is it? Because some of the masks they've been making lately are a little too tight. I said, well, it's awful tight. I'm not sure if I can breathe very well or not. So they cut a little bit out in a place or two to kind of make it a little better. But so I'm like, can we get a new mask made? And they said, well, we can, but then you got to go start over and you lose your place where you're doing it, and you won't get to start for who knows when and all this. And finally, I'm just like, just do it. Let's just do it and get it over with. And So I lay down there, and they got it on, and they start snapping that thing down on the table, because you can't just sit up. They're snapping that thing down on the table, and I'm, Lord, help me, you know, and I'm saying to myself, and I'm praying, and the Lord did help me. And I'd pray, Lord, help me to control my body that I won't freak out, try to jump up or stand up or something, you know. Because it's a pretty weird feeling when you know you can't just sit up, you can't move your head, it won't move any way if you tried, and they don't want you moving because they're trying to hit certain spots with that. So anyway, I got through that first day and thought, okay, it'll probably get easier. I guess I must be a little bit claustrophobic because it didn't really get that much easier. It got a little bit easier, but it still really struggled with it. And anyway, it was hard. But the Lord helped me deal with it through a lot of prayer. And those people, again, were so good. They would help you in everything. And we got all done. So when you're all done, I had 30 treatments over a course of whatever it was, 30 days or 35 days or something. Then they have you go out and you ring the bell, because you're all done, you know, and stuff. And I told those people that were in there helping me, I said, you guys are amazing. And even out at the front desk, you'd walk in that place, and the receptionist, you know, most doctor's office, you go in there, they don't know who you are or whatever. You walk in there, they knew your name, you just walk in there, and I'd say, I'm Denny, just because I didn't think they could remember my name, but they do, and they just said, okay, Denny, and send you back, even though you didn't have to tell them or nothing. And we'd sit in this little room. So they had, when you walk in, that building, that medical building's right across from Ziggy's. And when you walk in that building, there's a big foyer area, probably as big as this room. And that's just kind of if you want to sit down there or whatever. We'd try to go early because we were always worried that the roads could get slick or something. That's another amazing thing. We drove to Spokane for 6.5 weeks, every day except the weekends, so 5 days a week. And we drove on the road, it only had snow on it 2 times. In the middle of winter, January, you know? I mean, that, to me, that's answered prayer. That's God, man. I mean, we don't have winters like this. We get snow, you know? And so that was another thing. So we'd go in early. We'd sit. Usually we're out there. Sometimes we'd talk to people or whatever. And so then in that big foyer, and then there's an upstairs, and there's doctors, and down all those aisles, and down here there's doctors, and mine was off to the right here, and you go in there, and there was a big waiting room. And so when I'd go in, you'd just go into the lady at the desk, and then they'd have me go off this way and go over down a hallway to this place, waiting room that was for the radiation people. And it was really small, no windows, no nothing. Everybody's sitting in there, especially the first day or two. Everybody's sitting in there just kind of staring straight ahead or looking at the floor or whatever, because some of them had started and had 2 or 3, and it's my first time, you know, and I'm scared to death. And so nobody's talking to everybody. And I noticed on one guy's coat, he had a little emblem. And so the next day, he was the guy right in front of me. So the next day, I asked him, I said, so is that emblem that you have for that bus place up by Chihuahua, right across the street here? And he said, yeah. So I started talking to him. And he was taking radiation and chemo at the same time. And it was really hard on him. He was really struggling. He ended up having a feeding tube and stuff, couldn't swallow, all that kind of stuff. And so I'm like, Lord, these guys are really going through it, you know. And I'm doing good. I'm supposed to have all these side effects, and I'm not getting any side effects. I'm halfway through my treatments, and I'm like, man, I told the doctor, you met with a doctor once a week, and I said, so what's the deal with this? I said, is the stuff you guys doing me any good? Because I said, I'm not sick like these guys are, and I'm not losing my voice yet, and I'm able to swallow and all this stuff. I had hardly any side effects. Most of eating real soft stuff. They couldn't eat anything that was very hard at all. I'm pretty normal eating. As we went on, I got to where I was only eating some soft stuff. And I'm like, man, God, you're really helping me through this, you know. And so I was able to talk to these guys, them in the Lord. And some of them were Christians and some of them weren't. Because the guys would be in there that are ahead of me and some of them behind me and stuff. And there was guys, one was up Colville, one was in North Basin, another in South Basin, one in Chewila, one down at Springdale. And anyway, those were the ones that mostly I talked to. So I was able to really encourage them because they were really down, and really encourage them with scripture and talking about the Lord and stuff. And then I met, you got anybody know Gary Spencer? That used to be the principal at the grade school in Chewila. Yeah, Mike does. And this guy comes in, he sits down, and he's like all trim and slim, and we get to talking, and pretty soon he said he used to be in Chewila after he asked me where I'd been, lived and stuff. And I said, man, I remember you when I was driving bus, and if I had to take a kid in, or a grade school kid, well, you'd see him, you know. I'm like, man, Mike, he was really slim and trim. He looked really good. And I'm like, well, why are you in here? And it's like, I've been fighting cancer. And they want me to take some radiation treatments. So we get to talking and stuff. And so through this time, the Lord just impressed me to pray for all these people. I met another guy that had been teaching band at Northwest Christian School in Chatteroy. And he had, a guy got some kind of disease, the band teacher that was the normal one there. And he ended up dying, and they asked this guy to come in and to teach the band until they could get somebody and things calmed down and stuff. And this guy knew all my grandkids. So I had all these great conversations. He was a Christian guy, you know. And he told me, he says, man, he said, you have been so encouraging to me. He said, you have really helped me. And some of them other guys kind of expressed that too. And I'm like, wow, Lord, if I didn't have this and I wasn't in here, I wouldn't be able to talk to these. I wouldn't have this opportunity. And it was just like I said, it's almost like being on the mission field every day. You got to talk to these guys. And I told Teresa, I said, you know, a guy could come down to this building, he could walk in the doors and he could sit out in that big foyer area like this, and you could talk to people all day long, because there's a steady stream of people going in that place, to either the dentist, the heart doctor, or cancer, or whatever. And people that are in that kind of shape where I was, you know, a lot of them are really bad. And they'll listen, and they'll hear. And when you can encourage them, and I tell you this stuff, not because I want you to know what happened to me, because I know it's probably kind of boring sitting here listening, But I'm telling you because I want you to see the same things, that we all have these opportunities. And when we go through struggles in our lives, whether it's trouble or it's anxiety, fear, persecution, or whatever it is, you have opportunities to share the Lord with people. And it's important how we go through it, because it's not just what I can say to them. I was like, how I went through it. And I was like, Lord, I want your power and your strength to help me when I go in there and sit under that thing and that mask every time, that they can see Jesus in me, not just somebody. And I believe he really helped me with that. And around those guys that were so discouraged, because I was like, I didn't like it, but I wasn't that discouraged. I was like, man, maybe the Lord will heal me, you know, with this. And I was like, you can make it. You can make it. I'm praying for you guys, you know. I'm praying for you every day. You can make it through this. You'll be okay, you know. God might not take that away, but they'll be okay. Anyway, so one of the things I learned was, I think I'm a pretty compassionate person, but I'll tell you, I learned that I wasn't near as compassionate as I thought I was. And God gave me compassion for those people. And what's it, like I said, the people worked there, they had so much compassion, and God gave me the people who were going through those treatments where I could have compassion on them and pray for them. Another thing I learned was that I could be an encouragement to them and give them comfort. Not me give them the comfort, but the Lord could give them comfort and strength if I'd open my mouth and talk to them instead of looking at the wall and saying, oh, Lord, I don't want to be here. Why did I get cancer? All this stuff. And I found out that I could be a comfort to them. In 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 7 says this, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. He comforts us, not just so that we'll feel good and comforted, but so that we can also comfort others that we run into from day to day. I mean, Bob, I hear you, man. You're telling people back here about all this stuff, and you're giving people strength and comfort for whenever they go through some struggles. And Paul, I don't know you real well, but I see you, and you comfort people too, and you have compassion for people. And it's just amazing. Will you allow God to do those things in your life so that you can be a comfort, like it's talking about here, for others? For just, verse 5, for just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance. So we can learn endurance, and we need that. People get so down at times, you know. In you endurance for of the same sufferings we suffer, and our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in your sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. So the word comfort means to stand beside a person, encouraging and helping him or her in a time of trouble. And that's what I found that I was able to do through this. There again, I'm standing here talking to you about this stuff, but yet I'm just like, You know, Lord, I can't even explain it, really, what happened. And it was amazing. And God did so much in my life through all of this. Romans 8, 35 and 30 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither life, neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present or the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, one time Jesus asked the disciples, some of the disciples were kind of leaving, and he asked the 12, well, what about you guys? And they said, where else are we going to go? And that's a good thing for us to remember. We should run to the Lord instead of away from him. And again, when I've seen people get so mad at God and they quit going to church and they quit reading their Bibles and they do all this stuff, Lord, help me to run to him. And Lord, help you guys to run towards Jesus, to know him and to walk with him. And no matter what, remember when I first got cancer, and I was up at Summit Valley Church, and I was a pastor there then, and somebody asked me something, I told them this, that example, and I said, where else can I go? It doesn't matter. If I die, I get heaven. If he heals me, I get to be here with my family and friends and everybody a while longer. So there's victory. But how are we going to, get mad and, you know, all this stuff? And I said, for me, they scared me to death when they told me. That first doctor I went to, and he said, I'm 100% sure it's cancer. And I'm like, oh, man, it hit you like a brick. But I made up my mind, however long I got here, I want to walk with the Lord. Whether it's one day, whether it's 10 years, whatever. And I've just told the Lord, give me the strength to walk with you for however long we've got on this planet. And I told Teresa the same thing. I said, we're committing ourselves to the Lord. Watch, just walk with him, no matter what. Where am I at here? Romans 8, 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So I'm like, that's kind of how I went through that, saying, okay, Lord, this is not a good situation, but I want to go through it in such a way, knowing that there's going to be good come out of this. It might not cure my cancer. It might, who knows what's in the future. But whatever happens, there'll be good come out of it. And I realized that I could comfort and encourage those other guys around me who also were taking the treatment. I could be a good witness by the way I went through the treatments, by not giving those nurses and doctors a hard time or getting mad at them. They didn't get mad at me. You know, they were great. I don't know where they find all those people that are so good to do those kind of jobs, but they're out there, and they are so good to me. And so I'm just like, Lord, just help me through the treatments by being a good witness and by the way that I go through them. And I believe he gave me the strength and the power to do that. And that he just really blessed me through a hard, hard time. And like one of the songs we said, sang today somewhere, it said something about rejoicing. And I want to rejoice God for what he's doing in my life. And I want to see him do that in all of our lives, because we can have that. So Teresa, if you'd pass out that, let's kind of hand out things there. I made a little sheet that she'll pass out to all of you that want one. And there, God's promise to the afflicted. Isaiah, and then I just kind of want to read through these and hope they're encouraging to you. You can take them home. And if you want to look further into this, then you can do that. But Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burnt. And I can say, I know that's what he's done for me. John 14:1-2, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. That were not so, would I have not told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you. Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs them all. Praise God for these. Look at how the Lord in the Word encourages us in these times of trouble. It's amazing. We just need to read his Word and apply it to our lives. 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. 1 Peter 4:12-14. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, but for the spirit of glory and of God rest on you. Revelation 21:4. He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. And here's some promises kind of the ultimate victory. You know, like something happens and we don't make it and we die. Romans 8:35-37. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Did I reread that? Up there, maybe I had it on there twice. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. 1 John 5:4, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that he has overcome the world, even our faith. Then at the bottom, there's some scriptures there that just talk about affliction. And if you really want to look into it, you can look up your affliction in a and tribulation and those different words. I can't think of, what do you call them? Were you looking up the words? Concordance, there we go. Look them up in a concordance and you can follow through there, because I just put one or two verses there. Anyway, let's pray. Lord, I pray and thank you for the experience I've had, Lord, and the way you've helped me through this and to learn and to grow. Lord, I pray for these people here, because every one of us, no matter who we are, goes through some kind of struggles, anxiousness or fear, persecution. We don't see much of that here in our country, Lord, but others do, and bad persecution. Lord, you can give us peace through all kinds of different trouble, Lord, and I ask that you'd help us all to learn and grow and mature. No matter where we are, Lord, you can teach us more and you can help us more. But I just thank you for your faithfulness, teaching me and helping me to grow. Lord, I pray you'd encourage these folks, and especially those that are going through struggles. Lord, we pray for Bob, pray for Paul. Lord, there's probably others here that are going through some struggles. Lord, help them be encouraged this morning. Help them to look into your word. Help them to come before you in prayer, Lord, because you can help them just like you helped me. Lord, we thank you and praise you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Bob, would you mind doing that? Usually we do communion, and Bob's going to do that this morning. If you don't mind me saying a couple words about it after you read the scriptures, I'd like to say a couple things.
Would you like to do all the reading of it and stuff. Say something before we take it, or after?
Yeah, before. Yeah. But if you'll read, you want to read through 1 Corinthians 11, they're part of that.
Yeah.
You got it there.
Notes here.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be good. Because you're going all the way down then to. Yeah, go ahead and read that. Then I'll just say a word or two after you're done.
We'll have a moment of silence, and then before we
part. Sounds good. Yeah.
Thank you so much for your encouraging testimony this morning. That was wonderful to hear that. So if the men would come forward. Communion was started by Jesus during the Last Supper with his disciples, and communion is a way for believers to outwardly show their love for and fellowship with Christ, to remember the atoning sacrifice that Jesus made for them, and to look forward to the time when he will partake with us in the kingdom. We'll read from 1 Corinthians 11, 26 through 29. And that says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." And we'll have a time to bow our hearts before the Lord here while the bread and the cup are being passed out. Please take that time to make right with the Lord if you have not already, to thank him also for what he has done and what he will do. If you would please pass out the bread and the cup.
So could I go ahead and say something? So you covered actually what I was going to say, because not long ago I was in a service where we had communion, and they focused on remembering. And it is about remembering. But it was like they just wanted to remember the good stuff that God has done, and that's great. But I'm like, there's a whole couple paragraphs here besides that that talks about examining ourselves, and I'm like, come on, you're telling us half the story, you know? I'm like, we need to examine ourselves, just not, he's like, oh, it's okay, whoever wants to take it. And I'm like, no, this is for believers. You know, examine yourself. And if your kids don't know the Lord and they're sitting there, explain it to them and stuff. But it was like there wasn't any examining. And it goes on from the examining, and it talks about some of you are sick and fell asleep. And I'm like, we're supposed to take this as Christians, not, where was that part? I think it's on down a little farther. Talks about not drinking judgment on ourselves, you know. Talks about, well, here it is. Verse 30, that is why many of among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judge ourselves, we would not come under judgment. And goes on there. So I think, thank you, Bob, for you know, bringing that out. Because I think it's really important that we examine ourselves. I feel like sometimes we maybe shouldn't even take it once in a while. If there's things wrong in our life that we need to either confess to the Lord or go ask somebody else to forgive us of. So I think it's a serious time, I think. And I like it because I like to take it together. In some places they just kind of take it and it just kind of like some little thing. To me, I feel like when we do communion, it's like we are remembering ourselves together to the Lord. It's like, I remember, Lord, what you've done on the cross for me. And I love you and I thank you. And Lord, I'm so thankful that you provided salvation for me, and I commit myself when we have the quiet time to the Lord, just commit myself again to him and say, Lord, help me to walk with you all of my life, not just for part of it. Oh, go ahead, Bob, you can lead us through that. I guess I better go get some of it, though.
So let us remember today as we eat and drink, not only of what the bread and cup mean, that his body was broken for us so that we wouldn't have to pay the price, and that his blood was shed to redeem us from our sins. But let us also remember the power that is in the blood, the power that God has to move and work in our lives, to not only cleanse us of sin, but to mold us and transform us into the image of his Son. Tristan, would you please pray for the Lord's blessing upon the bread? Matthew 26:26, it says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" Mike, would you please pray for the Lord's blessing on the Matthew 26:27, it says, "Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" To say in verse 29, "But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." What a glorious day that will be, and a day that we look forward to when we're in his presence at the wedding feast, have all of eternity to spend with him. And today we have a feast. It's not the wedding feast, but it's a good feast nonetheless, and good fellowship as well. We would encourage you to stay and join us for Pop Providence. And right now we'll close with a song.